It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Danny Meringue.
Dusty Bun.
Dusty Hera.
I've been really busy. I'm trying to save the world from Russians and monsters.
This is Danny and Dusty on the Odyssey app and Portland's sports leader.
Of course you have.
1080.
I want to hear it.
The Fan.
Reach the stars.
Hour number two, Danny and Dusty with you on this Monday afternoon. Thank you for being a part of our day, letting us be a part of yours. We got the start of the college football season over the weekend, 0 week. And it started in true college football fashion. The first upset of the year.
As it does.
Top 10 team goes down. Florida State came into the season ranked 10th, licking their wounds after being snubbed from the college football playoff. And they laid an egg. 24-21, they lose to the Ramblin' Wreck of Georgia Tech. It was a fun game, though.
It was.
It wasn't pretty.
I mean, that first drive.
Two drives were great.
Score. You start the game off, Florida State just punches Georgia Tech in the mouth. Boom, 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 boom. Nothing but quick hit runs.
Yep.
Gash, deep. Like, it was just... Okay, this is how this is going to go, huh? They're just going to blow them off the line of scrimmage and just maul them. Georgia Tech comes back and goes, all right, bet. Does the exact same thing against the Florida State defense that even though it lost a couple guys, particularly in Jared Verse, they were long believed to have been the winners of the transfer portal market in bolstering the defensive line. They basically got the top defensive line prospects in the country in the transfer portal, and they just got bullied. Over and over and over. And then you got Hayes King back there looking like a Heisman Trophy candidate.
Yep.
I mean, going back to the whole point about Oregon State having a quarterback, I mean, I'm joking, but
we're using that very loosely here.
It is. But you look at Hayes King, and he's not a guy you look at and go, my God, he's like the spitting image of, like, perfect specimen of quarterback play. Like, yeah, he's 6'3", but when you look at him, does he look like a big guy back there? No. There's nothing about him that's just overwhelmingly threatening as a quarterback.
Yeah, he's but well put together, though.
He is.
I mean, he's not 180 pounds.
No, but you know what I mean? Like, you're not looking at him going, that, you know, that's a prototypical quarterback build. No, he's just slightly above average. But his ability to beat you with his feet, the read option. Thankfully, the ethos of the Ramblin' Wreck lives on in Hayes King.
Yeah.
Because they did run some option.
Run that damn ball.
And, oh my God, do we have that drop?
No.
Oh, God. That was... You heard the coach after the game, right?
Oh, yeah. Oh, actually, we
run
do.
Run the ball.
There it is.
Run the ball.
As a former offensive lineman, how much pride did you have watching that group control the line of scrimmage?
Are you kidding me? Run the ball.
And if you're not sure, the face that he made when he said that is exactly what you're picturing.
I don't know if I don't know if I'm picking up what Brent Keith's putting down.
Oh?
Yeah. I don't know. I don't
really.
Yeah.
Why?
I don't know.
I came away thinking, oh, this guy's got his guys.
Yeah. Don't know if I was buying it.
It feels fake.
Like a little bit.
Okay.
Yeah.
I
because
can see what,
he made the face like,
yeah,
you know, like when we have the Dabo or you have Kirby, when they say it, it's like,
see,
you believe it. With him, I was like, seems a little forced.
I get where you're coming from.
Yeah.
My only pushback would be was like during those interview that interview the whole time, every single one of his guys that came by,
they loved him.
They loved him, yeah. And they like, you know, you could damn near tear coming back kind of a deal. And that's where I was like, that's why I was like, I think this guy's real.
Yeah. I hope he. I want Georgia Tech to be good.
It's fun when they're good.
It is fun when they're good. They just aren't.
Yeah.
Really ever. But
Florida State
now, eesh. The ACC. We want to talk about a wide open conference.
Goodness.
And one of them will get a bye.
Yeah.
Somebody's got to do it. Miami's like, yes. Clemson's going, yes.
I mean, because SMU, good God, was not doing the ACC any favors.
But with Florida State, with DJ Uiagalelei, we talked about him on Friday, mm-hmm. and I said, he's not a guy who will win you a game. He's a guy who can lose you a game.
Sure.
But he is not going to put a team on his back and carry you to a win. And now look at, it was his first game in a new system, and it was a conference game that you're going into. You're not playing, you know, Idaho or Idaho State like the two Oregon schools are playing. You had an ACC game to kick off your career at Florida State. But now we have, DJ is on his third school, and think of the guys that he has been around as coaches, though. Mm-hmm. Dabo Swinney and Tony Elliott mm-hmm. when he was at Clemson.
Mm-hmm.
Jonathan Smith at Oregon State, and now Mike Norvell at Florida State.
Are any of those guys good at creating offense?
Every single one of those guys is known for offenses that mm-hmm. maximize your quarterback. And we just haven't seen it. And one thing that we're not even seeing from DJ anymore, which was his kryptonite at Clemson, everybody said, can't do that, was he is 6 foot six, like 250.
Yeah.
And he doesn't run the ball anymore.
He didn't take it and run. I was shocked by that. This game was so interesting because that point in particular, if you had asked me before the game, who has the ability to really hurt the other team with their legs? The 6 foot five, 250-pound quarterback was higher on my list than Haynes King, even though I know that King is a bit of a dual threat guy. Okay, but the interesting thing was, it almost like this game lacked the, I'm trying to think of the right word, the motivation for it, in the sense of, it was such a tight game, score wise. There was no turnovers in the game. Low penalties. Time of possession was almost dead even across the board. Like, this game was so equal. It was like almost like there was, the game called for a big play, and it seemed like neither DJ or Florida State were either unwilling or unable to make it.
Yes, and that's where you talk about Haynes King. That's where he did make those plays.
Over and over again.
I mean, they didn't have the big explosives, right? I don't think we had a play over 40 yards in that game.
The Rutherford one was 42.
It was 42? Yeah. Okay, so the pass to Rutherford, 42 yards. Over 40 yards in the entire game. Yeah. It wasn't filled with explosives. And I think that where you sit there and you go, that's going to be the Achilles heel for Florida State is, that comes down in college football so much to, does the quarterback deliver that strike? Mm-hmm. Does the quarterback create that play with his legs? Does he create it with his arms? And we just haven't seen that with DJ.
No.
And that is unfortunate. And look, the kid came in out of high school, out of St. John Bosco, with a ton of hype around him. And that's not his fault. That's not his fault. It is the expectations that were lumped upon him as a highly touted prospect who went to a powerhouse in Clemson and then just didn't pan out. Sometimes that happens. And that's like, DJ is their season's not over.
No.
They could still win the ACC and go to the college football playoff scary down the stretch. And I mean, I don't think that is dumb though, because if he does, if Mike Norvell, they turn on that film and they're like, DJ, we need to whatever that broke you at Clemson and Oregon State from running the football and being a guy who turns into a threat, that's who we want you to be.
Yeah.
Because we want you to be that guy. Because you saw Mike Norvell protecting him from throwing the ball down the field. It was an aversion to throwing the ball down the field, which hurt them late in the game. Mm-hmm. But then it also was Mike Norvell not trusting him. All of those. In the stat that DJ's getting dragged for right now is he started the game 12 of 14, and I think it was 96 yards, but his average yards through the air downfield was -0.1.
Yeah, because the passes, the little jet touch passes were...
That's -4.
-4 yards behind the line of scrimmage, even if it was a forward pass.
Screens are behind the line of scrimmage, and that's your coach saying... right, one, it's working right now, mm-hmm. and it was working for them early. But two, we're not going to do that. We're not pushing the ball down the field. We are going to ease our quarterback into this. And look, they could get to that point where it's not that he doesn't have a strong arm. You got to get that trust, though.
Yeah.
And Florida State, they may not be done, but that was a brutal start. You mentioned SMU. That SMU-Nevada game, that was game three of the quadruple header. But penalty fest. 22 penalties, 206 yards combined.
So many near fights.
Yeah, guy spitting, not on a player, but in the general direction. I mean, I spit at you.
I mean, he was trying to spit at
me. Yeah, he was trying to. He didn't hit him.
No.
We had spitting. We had cheap shots after the whistle. Mm-hmm. That looked like one of those old Oregon State, Fresno State games from the early 2000s that were just haymakers being thrown. Where did this bad blood come from? I don't know, but it was there.
It was there.
And that game was ugly, baby.
It was the best kind of ugly.
Yeah. Nevada had no business leading that game. Mm-mm. I text you that. I was like, they have no business leading this game right now. Yet SMU was just like, nah, you guys could take the lead. You guys are fine. And it gave us a hell of a finish down the stretch. 29-24, down to the wire.
Yeah, no, SMU swapped quarterbacks at the half and was all the difference.
I mean, three of the four games did come down to the wire because the other one was Montana State spotting New Mexico, two touchdowns.
They needed every break to get back into that game.
Two defensive touchdowns from New Mexico, and Montana State was like, we're okay. We are the better team. They were the better team.
Didn't cover, though.
They were 13.5-point favorites in that game, and New Mexico scored two defensive touchdowns mm-hmm. and blew a 17-point fourth-quarter lead. They were up 17 in the fourth quarter, and Big Sky, Montana State just goes, yeah, no, we'll take this game from you. That was, and it was windy. That was great. We had like 50-mile-an-hour wind gusts coming in Albuquerque.
Just make it a little special, because you're playing it near mile high.
The one game that wasn't really close was Delaware, Hawaii.
Yeah, which
we knew that was, we knew what that was going to be. But it was,
shockingly, Hawaii did not cover the 40.5.
They're not a good football team.
No.
They really
are. That's why we said take Hawaii and take the under.
Yeah. Take Hawaii or take Delaware State, take the under.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yes.
Yeah. Delaware State and the under. They did not hit the 56.5. In Delaware State, they got to Hawaii by Thursday. So that was a win in their own right. All four underdogs covered, though.
Mm-hmm.
40.5 in that Hawaii Delaware State game. You had New Mexico covering 13.5 against an FCS team.
That was an upset.
Good luck, Bronco Mendenhall. SMU, I think they were 10.5 point favorites over Nevada. They win by 5. And then Georgia Tech wins outright over Florida State, which is 10-point.
It was 10.
Dogs, they won.
I think it opened at 13. I think they had down to 10.
All dogs go to heaven, baby.
Hey.
Riding those wins all the way up. Let's go.
Love to see it.
I do love to see it. It was a college football palooza, and it just was a great warning for all of us that whatever you think heading into this week, there will be a massive wrench thrown into it somewhere. Whatever you think is going to happen this week, and it's not going to be against the FCS. I saw somewhere that there are 59 FCS versus FBS games this week. Probably not going to see very many upsets like Montana State beating New Mexico or like Lindenwood beating 25th-ranked Kansas.
Mm.
But we'll see a game that gets turned on its head. Look, Colorado's 9.5-point favorites over North Dakota State
at home. That's a fun one.
That one could get a little gnarly on you. But, I mean, we're not expecting any of these.
It's a taking care of business week.
It kind of is. And, well, I mean, unless Clemson beats Georgia, which that would be
a massive derail, and all of a sudden the ACC looks different.
Well, I could see West Virginia beating Penn State. It's in Morgantown.
Yeah.
Penn State.
That whole town is going to be so drunk.
All the couches would be burned. All of them. They would all get burnt that day.
Yeah, they're setting up game day out there.
They would. ESPN, what are you doing to McAfee?
You're sending McAfee to his hometown, to his home school.
You can't do that. I can see Florida beating Miami, but that wouldn't really be that big of an upset.
I mean,
Miami's ranked.
I was saying, Miami's ranked.
Florida's not. at all. But this weekend gave us the, hey, you think you know?
You have no idea.
Mm. Was that MTV? What is that MTV thing?
I think that was, yeah.
Yeah. What show was that on? Where, like, people would shadow somebody else's life.
Was it, God.
I don't know. But they'd be like, I want to be a break dancer. Like, you think you know?
Mm.
You have no idea. And then that's how Ray Gunn got to the Olympics, is that MTV show. All right. Jim Harbaugh goes the most Harbaughian way absolutely possible. And we got some decision times across the NFL after preseason wrapped up. Danny and Dusty on the Fan.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Made. That was the show on MTV that we were talking about. Made. Made.
Yes. As an aside, this might be one of my favorite songs of all time.
My Curse.
Mm-hmm.
On brand.
Yep.
On brand.
A little Killswitch Engage.
Yep. It's right on brand right there. All right, Jim Harbaugh gave us quite possibly the most Jim Harbaughian quote of all time.
Oh, do we find this? Absolutely.
We don't have the audio.
I have scoured. I can't find the sound.
Which, come on, Chargers media.
They probably went, this is too much.
You had five players, and apparently two women, of the Los Angeles Chargers staff, got stuck in an elevator. Which sounds like a horrible thing. Like, getting stuck in an elevator, there's nothing that is fun about getting stuck in an elevator. And they were in there for a while. It got hot. They ended up all, everybody got out. But this is the way Jim Harbaugh looked at that event. He said, that's a shared experience that brought them closer together. I just missed it, being on that elevator. It was like, wish I could have been on there with those guys. But Justin Herbert was. Okay, there's his first quote.
Mm.
I wish I could have been on that elevator. The man seeks out adversity to the point where he wishes he was on an elevator stuck where you don't know when you're getting off. You don't know if you're going to have to establish a P corner. There are so many variables right there. It could come just crashing down. He's like, nope, wish I could have been there. That's a piece of this team bonding I would have wanted to be a part of. Harbaugh goes on to say, Justin Herbert, his hair was a little wet, but his shirt was completely dry. That was another thing that blew me away. The guy's just a beast. So, getting out of a stuck elevator, Harbaugh essentially told us there was a winner and a loser in all of this. Mm. And the winner was Justin Herbert, who did not sweat.
Unbelievable.
He's like, no, we got that.
What we need is we need to go to Evan Turner on this to understand the dynamics of the elevator.
And how hot it gets.
And being stuck in there.
Yeah. Harbaugh went on, you get in those situations and it's a test of wills. I was proud of each of the guys and the two women that were on that elevator. That's a win. You feel good about yourself. You were challenged. It was a test of will, and you pull it down or pull it in. It was camaraderie amongst a group that is even stronger than it was before.
Oh boy.
He ended it with, who's got it better than those guys who were on that elevator?
Yeah.
No, O'Doyle rules.
It's, again, Dusty is not doing it justice, how unhinged the audio was. It sounds like AI. I'm not kidding. Like when you,
I haven't heard any of the audio.
Oh, you haven't heard it?
No,
oh,
I didn't. I didn't know it existed.
Oh, yeah. It's full.
I just only read the quotes.
It's full on bloviating, like Harbaugh's best. I heard it this morning on the way in. It was incredible.
Hmm.
And you're just sitting there going, there's no way. There's just no way that happens.
There is a way. His name is Jim Harbaugh. That man is an enigma. He is a crazy human being. And I love every bit of what Jim Harbaugh brings to the table. And that's the thing, that's going to be the weirdest thing, is that this team, from a talent standpoint, It should not compete for the AFC West. It should not be a team that in the AFC is going to be a viable threat in the playoffs.
Or even a playoff team.
A playoff team is going to be a bit of a stretch. But that guy wins every single place he's gone. Like Kurt Cignetti, the Indiana coach, said it when he dropped the Google me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I win everywhere I've been. Just Google me. Harbaugh really is that, though.
Well, the thing about Harbaugh.
So is Cignetti.
I'm with you on Harbaugh. And this,
we have the audio.
I go back and forth. Here. Do we have it?
Yeah. I can. I'm going to send it to Russ.
Okay, because when you hear it, it's just pure unadulterated. Like, it's as bad as a lot of milk.
Oh, no, not that. That wasn't bad. That was great.
No, but I mean, like, it's...
I don't see anything bad about what Jim Harbaugh's doing.
It's not what he says. It's how he says it.
Yeah.
There's a lot of...
He believes it.
Behind it.
Gross.
Yeah, no, it makes you gross and uncomfortable.
It is.
Yeah.
It's very gross and uncomfortable.
I know. That's why I went for that, because that's that's what it makes you do.
Really, Rust? Really?
You're welcome.
I do love how you boosted that one, too.
So disgusting. So gross.
Little fava beans and
candy. He's a different bird, man. He is just a absolute wild card of the highest regard, though, too. And I can't wait that we have more of him in the NFL. I can't wait for what he says when the S hits the fan, too, because that may be the better Harbaugh, is when he gets a little surly with people and things aren't going the right way. But this Chargers team is going to be an interesting one. And there's a lot of tough decisions that are going to be made right now. This is a cut day in the NFL. You know, over 1,000 players across the NFL are going to have their dreams absolutely shattered in the next, like, 48 hours.
It's tough.
That is tough. That's you. When you put it into those terms, you're like, dang, that's awful. And Trey Lance may be one of those guys for the Cowboys.
Yeah, I mean,
that number 3 pick is looking worse and worse by the minute, but at least they got Brock Purdy, the San Francisco 49ers. Right? He threw 5 picks
against the third string.
That's brutal.
Yeah.
And I don't know if you're Jerry and you're the Cowboys, are you going, "Yeah, we can keep him on as Dak's backup?"
Well, I mean, I think if you're going full Jerry conspiracy theory, you keep him, that way nobody ever asks for him.
Oh, well, I'll be damned. Yeah. They're going to ask for Cooper Rush, though.
I can't. I mean, you know.
Get the pride of Central Michigan back out there in Cooper Rush. But you have some guys that serious question marks are coming in. Because I joke about Drake May looking good. He played well enough in their preseason finale last night to where Jerod Mayo is now having the serious question of, are you going to play this guy that you thought and you said you were going to sit for the year? And Jacoby Brissett has been the guy moving forward.
And Brissett's dinged up a little bit.
It still seems that Jacoby Brissett is going to be the guy moving forward, at least week one. But they're not in a position where they're going to try to win. The offensive line still is not very good.
Which is probably why you want to play a couple of weeks and let Brissett take those hits and see just how bad your offensive line is.
Protect him at all costs. Yeah. And there is not going to be much pressure, at least from the onset, from Boston delusional sport fan.
No.
Because you approach this by saying he's going to be a backup. We brought Brissett in to be that guy. Things will go sideways. I give it 4 weeks. Then they're going to put Drake May in. Yeah, they're going to put Drake May in probably week 5.
I think
unless
if you're
Brissett
best case,
gets hurt.
I think if you're hoping best case scenario, it's like week 8.
Dude, best case scenario is you sit his butt for the whole year and you just say, learn how to be a pro. Yeah. But, you know, all of these rookie quarterbacks, and listening to Collinsworth kind of wax poetic on all of them, it was like, we may be going a little bit too far here.
Yeah.
But I can't remember a year where we've had 5 rookies that have flashed and all of them have been like, no, they all look really good in the preseason. They've all had their hiccups and their warts, but I go back to preseason is more meaningless than it's ever been before.
Sure. But still.
But
still. You have to.
It was almost
that. You can't ignore it.
They used to be amplified, right? The hiccups and the bumps in the road were amplified back when preseason actually meant something. It doesn't mean anything now. And the fact that all of these quarterbacks have did flash, and J.J. McCarthy may look, we may go back and be like, him tearing his meniscus wasn't the worst thing that happened for him or the Vikings because of the expectations being kind of leaped upon all of these guys.
Yes.
And there's nothing that you can do to get out of that way. And there's going to be the ditch digger in this group. We know there will be, because if two of them thrive, if the other three are going to be, well, what happened to them? And that's unfair to them, because we only get one or two quarterbacks every year that look good.
Come on.
Come on.
Rookies are supposed to suck.
That's right.
Coming up next on our worst day on the web, we're going to go to what might just be like the pool of worst days on the web. And it involves a postal worker and drugs.
Oh.
But first, here's the Big Kahuna Sports and Update.
Hamburgers, the cornerstone of any nutritious breakfast.
It's time for today's worst day on the web. With Danny and Dusty on Odyssey and 1080 The Fan.
Well, that sucks.
It always seems like it's a fair place to go to the well. Visit the U.S. Postal Service.
Wow.
I mean,
I love my postal carriers.
Just saying. They,
y'all are great.
They do have a reputation for going postal.
There is a term. Yep.
This one's going postal in a little bit of a different way.
Mm-hmm.
A former postal worker is being accused of intercepting drugs and delivering them to traffickers in New Jersey. Over a five-year period, received cash payments in exchange for helping traffickers intercept packages containing narcotics and other illicit materials.
Okay, wait a minute. So they were stealing drugs to give to drug dealers?
So basically, I think they were shipping, like mailing drugs, and he would grab them before they would get to whatever spot, and then, or they got word of somebody having drugs, and he would steal them from a different dealer and pawn them.
Anyway, you slice it, the postal workers were working with the drug dealers.
Yeah.
Huh. All right. That actually isn't that surprising. Is that bad that I just assume that kind of stuff happens kind of regularly?
It's kind of like when we joked about the McDonald's Monopoly game being fixed and it turned out we were all right.
Yeah. That was a wild, racket that they
one
were running.
Dude controlled it all.
One guy. And it was like, yeah, well, it's only one person. Like, he wanted to do it. Yep, he did it.
Well, because it was one person, it was easier to do.
Yeah.
And it took years for them to catch on.
Hmm.
Unbelievable.
And this was in New Jersey they caught this?
Yeah. And it went on from 2015 to 2020.
Oh, wow. That's a long run.
Mm-hmm. One of the instances back in 2019, a package containing cocaine was shipped from Puerto Rico to an address in Flanders. He's accused of delivering it to an accused trafficker in the post office parking lot and receiving cash in return.
Now, who popped them? Was this the, because they have the post office has like their own branch of law enforcement.
It's the inspector general of the post office that got them.
Oh, got that? Yeah, it wasn't the stateies.
No, because it's a federal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's like the Secret Service.
There's
same kind of thing.
There's a great episode of Brooklyn Nine-Nine where they had to work with the Postal Inspector's Service team.
Mm.
And just basically like, of all of the alphabet agencies that there are, they were the nerdiest of the nerdies.
Yeah.
And I think that may have been a little unfair. But at the same time, it was the first time I'd ever heard of them. Was quite literally on the TV show Brooklyn Nine-Nine. I'd never heard of them before.
Yeah, that makes sense. Well, it's like the Secret Service. Like, you think of it as this, you know, elite group, but really they're in charge of money.
Yeah, it's pretty awesome.
Like, that's they don't work for. I guess they technically work for the president, but they aren't like a branch for the president. They were there to oversee the Federal Reserve. Like, that's. They protect money. It's like, who are we going to have be taking care of the president? I'm like, I don't know. Somebody who wants his money.
Well, I think that works, though, because we're going to lose the most money if our president gets shot.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Not good. Not good, Bob. Not good at all. Ooh, speaking of president and you see RFK, he dropped out, right? These stories are getting wild that are popping up about him. The cutting off the whale's head and putting it on the roof of his minivan.
Dude,
it was leaking through the roof and the kids had to wear plastic over their heads.
What was the other one? He hit a bear. And
yeah, and hit
in
Central Park. Yeah,
that was after he put it in the back of the van and went to like a dinner party. And the only reason why he left it in Central Park is it was starting to stink too bad.
Dude, he's just addicted to roadkill, man, or beach kill. I mean, but he's just like, yep. But and look, there's a lot of people that do that.
This seems like a great transition as you brought up roadkill.
Yeah.
There's another story over the weekend where there was a bald eagle that believed it was too injured to fly. It was at Wilson's Creek National Battlefield.
Oh.
It popped up. It was like one of the reenactments or something along those lines. And like, oh no, a bald eagle, it's injured and it can't fly. It was too fat to fly because it had just eaten roadkill.
Heck yeah.
They took it to the doctor and did scans and they found that
he was just living too good of a life.
Yeah, he was very, very, very full.
I don't know what it is about bald eagles, but every time I see them, they are majestic creatures.
Yeah.
Like Ben Franklin almost made the turkey our national bird. And that would have been such a letdown.
Yeah.
Because bald eagles are rad.
When a couple weeks ago when I went on the water with my family, we were just sitting there just tooling in the river and all just out of the sky comes a bald eagle and it just
sweet
6 feet away, just kind of slowly glides, comes around the bow of the boat, circles around us, probably about 10-20 feet behind us, lines up, dives, grabs a fish out of the water, pops back away and goes up to its nest about 50 yards away offshore.
There's something about bald eagles. They like to put on a show.
Oh yeah,
I feel like they know how protected they are. Like somebody sat down with them and is like, all right guys,
they can't touch you.
Nobody can do anything to you.
You are so made.
Yeah, you've got this. Yeah. You can do whatever you want. And they put on a show. They're showmen, those bald eagles are.
I think a couple birds in the bird world know that. Because I think I've mentioned the owl before that I almost killed, right?
No.
So, my old place, I used to sleep with the window open all the time. And I have this 100... There you go. This is actually perfect. 110-foot tall pine tree in the front yard. Massive, massive, massive old growth pine tree. Middle of summer, beautiful night. Woohoo! 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 I mean, it just won't stop. It's 35, 40 minutes straight of just hooting and hollering.
This is Lane with the dog on Seinfeld.
Oh, yeah.
Kramer. Kramer was the hitman. Kramer and his buddy.
It's like 2 in the morning, and there's a 0% chance I'm going to go to sleep. And so I go out there. And I'm just about ready to just start laying into the tree because he's not that far up in the tree. And I just flash my flashlight up there. And right before I pull the trigger, pull myself out of my pocket. I'm like, all right, owl's in Oregon.
Oh, no.
Yeah, he's protected. He's an endangered species.
Yeah.
Didn't kill him.
Well.
I let him go.
Good. Good for you.
Good.
You have big old hooters up in that tree.
But I think he knew.
Nice set of hooters you got there.
Yeah.
I
think he knew.
They know.
Like,
yeah, they know.
I got to the bottom of the tree. He stopped hooting.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's
why squirrels are all over the place. They're not protected.
Yeah. No.
They know that they got the strength in numbers. They're scared of people. They're all skittish. I hate squirrels. Squirrel guy's back in my neighborhood, by the
way.
Again? It's a big issue. Yeah. It's a big issue.
Is he putting nuts next to your house again?
Yeah, he's still going to the park.
Again, the answer to this is falconing.
What about on your drum set?
No, not on my drum set. Not on my drum set. My sister tried to gift us a drum set, and I said, no. That will not come into my home.
She has kids, right?
Yeah. Well, I know. This is kind of
because she should know better.
She knows better, and she got them as a gift from our parents. She's like, "Hey, guess what?" And I was like,
I've got my niece a guitar and a ukulele. So
yeah.
Far.
Yep. My daughter has a guitar and a ukulele.
You're gonna get that all back when you have kids.
I mean, I'll give my kids instruments.
My daughter starts like strumming the guitar, and I'll come in. I'll be like, hey,
wanna go outside?
You want to get lessons? And she's like, no, I got this. I'm like, do ya? You got this?
I saw Ferris Bueller with the clarinet.
Yeah.
Never had one lesson.
I'm like, we'll get you some lessons. Like, please, I beg you, get some lessons.
Play it more away from here.
Yeah. Like, and when you do come back, hit me with something. Hit me with something good.
Hit me that hot cross buns.
Yeah. Now that's a that is ingrained in my my mind.
Kids
brought home the recorder
immediately,
and I was still able to play hot cross buns, and I was pretty proud of that. I was proud that
took you a second to find it, and then
We got hot cross buns. It was down. Seems pretty easy, but I think everybody has their go-to song, and mine's Hot Cross Buns on a recorder.
A little La Bamba.
Blew the kids away. Had no idea. They're like, Dad, we didn't know you could play an instrument. I'm like, yeah, the recorder.
Mm-hmm.
Like, play something else. No.
No.
Nope.
Mm-mm.
I busted out the sax solo from Baker Street.
Whoa.
I'm kidding.
No.
I was going to say, Rust, do we need to have you play instruments and sing our opens now?
By play the saxophone, he meant to go full Homer Simpson and go saxophone.
Yeah, I think that it sounds about right. Yeah. I could see Russ doing that. Yeah. Like, I am playing the saxophone.
I did actually play the sax in fifth and sixth grade.
I did too.
Did you?
Sixth, seventh, and eighth grade.
One of our concerts, my solo was the Hill Street Blues theme.
Mm. Whoa. Yeah. What are the odds? How long would it take for you to get back up to speed to play that?
Give me a week.
A week?
I don't know.
Okay.
You think you can still work that reed like that?
How long until you could get back to playing a saxophone?
Sax?
Again? Fifth, sixth grade?
Probably like a month.
Couple months
probably
and
two
you
months,
could do
yeah.
it?
I grew up playing guitar. I still play. Like, that's the only thing that would be difficult, I think, would be getting the mouth work. Oh yeah, that's a drop. But yeah, no, like just like actually like doing that again and getting like breath control and stuff like that. Yeah, I think that'd be the hardest part.
Yeah. I have zero musical talent.
I grew up playing a lot of instruments. Guitar, sax, drums, piano.
Played the piano as a kid.
Violin.
Yeah. I stopped playing the piano on Mary Had a Little Lamb. Just couldn't do it. Second grade. Done.
I can't sit down at the piano without playing Beverly Hills Cop.
Oh.
It's like ingrained in my brain.
Okay.
Such a random one.
But it's a good one.
Mm-hmm.
Harold Faltermeyer.
There you go. But, yeah.
I watched has anybody seen the new Beverly Hills Cop on Netflix?
No, is it out?
It's been out for three months.
Yeah, it's been out for a while.
Oh.
I haven't finished it. I started it, but I haven't finished.
Well, I mean, I think
it makes me sad to say me too.
Yeah.
And it wasn't like I was like, this is bad.
Right.
I thought it was.
It was like,
out.
I've seen this before, but you were way younger.
Mm.
You know?
Yeah.
Like, it just kind of lost.
It had one of those.
Lost a little bit of its juice. But the whole thing, and we shouldn't have been surprised by this, they said, it's going to be Beverly Hills Cop. They're going back to their roots. They did.
Mm.
Same cast, same jokes, older people.
Did they do the jokes that would get them in trouble? Or is that
a couple of them, but it still wasn't.
Mm.
Yeah. Ooh, I think that this is it. We need a Rust Christmas special sax edition. You need
sax special sax edition
with an X.
Yeah.
We need to have.
Well, I mean, they both have X's. One has an A.
Maybe we should do that. We have plenty of time to plan for it now.
Mm-hmm.
We got 4 months. We have a Christmas musical.
Mm.
Right before Christmas, we have a Christmas musical.
There you go. We'll play it at the holiday party.
No, we're going to play it on the air in front of a live studio audience. We're going to bring in all of the sales folks.
There you go.
And we're going to have a Christmas special.
Light some candles, dim the lights.
I feel really good about saying this because I have zero musical talent, so it's you two carrying this.
Well, no, you can be here with your Christmas balls.
How about instead of playing that on the air?
Your sweaty balls.
We play the, I'll bring in the old Kenny G board game, Keeping It Saxy. We can play that live on the air.
I don't want to.
No.
And I'm also not surprised you have the Kenny G board game, Keeping It Saxy.
Upset of the day, Kenny G mentioned twice in the first 2 hours of the show.
That is a Monday.
Mm.
All right.
Coming up next, the Washington Commanders finally get it right. Danny and Dusty, Tenny the Fan. Washington Commanders have a new quarterback, a new owner, and a new lease on life as they celebrate one of their franchise icons, because it's not franchise greats, because unfortunately the life of Sean Taylor was cut short far too soon before his greatness could really shine over a long period of time. when he was on the field, he was dynamic. He was a Hall of Fame caliber, destructive force of nature, unbeknownst to the NFL. What the Washington Commanders have done since his passing has been tragic itself. If you're unfamiliar, they had a memorial slash homage to Sean Taylor, which was nothing more than a mannequin mocked up with wires. And it was
atrocious
and disrespectful. It looked like somebody put it together with a $100 budget.
I think they did.
It was bad.
That was one of many missteps that we saw with Daniel Snyder owning that team. And now with new ownership in, Josh Harris seems committed to doing right by the fans and doing right by the former players and actually getting them involved back with the organization. And this is a great step because there have been a lot of really good Commanders players over history. Actually, not really good Commanders players, but prior to the name change, they had a lot of really good players that suited up for
them. As Commanders, the list is very short. As the Redskins, the list is very long.
It's very long. And they're just trying to win that fan base over again. And I saw that they're also open to a new name change. And Harris came out and said, we're not going back to the old one for obvious reasons. Mm-hmm. But Commanders was a failure of galactic proportions.
Wolves, Red Wolves, Red Tails, all of those.
Red Tails should still be it.
It's such a cool name. Yeah. It's, again, we talked about this last week, like the whole idea of like having a different name.
Yeah. HTTR, right? Hail to the Redskins used to be what they always used to say, and then you could still have that with Hail to the Red Tails. Yeah. It'd be awesome.
And it still kind of rings out. We're talking all about all of this because, well, the Commanders are going to do a statue for Sean Taylor. It's going to be designed in part with his daughter, Jackie, who was 18 months old when Sean Taylor was murdered in 2007.
Oh my gosh.
It tells you how far and along and away we are from that event. 2007.
Yeah, because it was right after, remember the Pro Bowl hit where Sean Taylor, I don't know, ended Brian Moorman, the punter for the Buffalo Bills, in the Pro Bowl.
Oops.
Probably one of the most vicious hits. Like that and Pete Rose at home plate in the All-Star game. The two greatest All-Star game moments that we've had. But it was also two guys where it's like, maybe tone it down a little bit. Yeah. But they had no other gear. It was
all the way
gear
on.
All day long. And I think that's really cool that they're going to bring his daughter in to help design the statue. You got to have it with the helmet, and the helmet has got to have tape all over the face mask. That's got to be number one. I don't know how you do that in a statue form, but that has got to be number one because he brought that swag in, and everybody and their mother tried to have the Sean Taylor, you know, tape all over your face mask. That was dope. Have that. Have him just being a menacing figure because that's exactly what he was on the football field, and do it in statue form. It's awesome, and I hope they do it right. And I'm glad that the Commanders franchise is actually getting their S together.
Yeah, the Trav Sham mockery of the
so bad
previous installation has been taken down.
Good.
And the Commanders have informed the Taylor family that, hey, that's the old owner. That's not us.
Yeah, they probably just threw that in the scrapyard.
Honestly, they probably threw it away.
Nobody would want it.
I mean, it was quite literally taped together and had the wrong jersey, had the wrong cleats, like nothing. It was an Etsy, like the knockoff Etsy. It was like Timu.
Yep.
Sean Taylor Memorial Kit.
It really was.
And it's like they asked somebody who had no
idea. Timu might be offended by that.
Right? Wish.com's over here like, well, come on, man. We do better than this.
Yeah.
It was like if you asked somebody who had just found out about Sean Taylor to make a memorial.
Yeah.
That's the closest way I can put that.
But, I mean, in fairness to that statue, that's kind of how Snyder ran the entire organization. It's like, hey, you just found out that you own a professional football team. How would you run it? And they said, okay, yeah, we can do that.
These are the numbers that are retired for the Commanders. Sammy Baugh, Bobby Mitchell, Sonny Jurgensen.
Those are pretty good.
Those are the only retired numbers. They're retiring one more this year. Do you know whose that is?
I would probably say Daryl Green.
As I say, think of the best Redskins player.
Yeah.
Probably ever.
Yeah. Darryl Green is who you're going with on that?
Yeah,
I think that they probably should have retired Darryl Green's number a long time ago. Yeah, he was like 40 years old. Like
still running a 4.440.
And winning like they used to have 40-yard dash competitions at the Pro Bowl, and he'd win it like every year. He's an old-ass man.
I think at 40, he actually might have run a sub 4.4.
Dang. Like freak
just,
of nature.
Just an absolute monster. But hey, there you go. The Commanders, not being dumb.
They don't have John Riggins' number retired.
No.
You think they would have done that? Weird.
I mean, there's a lot of numbers they probably should have retired, or at least Ring of Honored.
Like maybe their Super Bowl winning quarterbacks.
Yeah, maybe Doug Williams up there.
Mark Rippon.
Yeah. But hey, or I don't know, maybe in a little homage to Joe Gibbs.
They have to have Joe Gibbs honored in the stadium somewhere, right?
Put him in a NASCAR.
Put him in a JGR. NASCAR. Yeah, Joe Gibbs racing. Let's go. Woo.
But it also goes to show you it's not that hard to actually run a successful NFL franchise and not be stupid.
Yeah, that's a great point. I take from this. That's a great point.
Like, the bar for not being an idiot.
Yeah.
Pretty low.
Pretty low. Like, and they tripped over that bar a lot.
Scoop the crap up. Don't suck.
Perfect. I think that's an evergreen statement. Right? We could use that for a lot of things right there.
It's really quite simple. Coming up in hour number three, it is our final round of the round of 32 college football rivalry trophies.
Ooh.
And then we will bang through these before the end of the week, and we get into week one of college football. Danny Dusty, 1080 The Fan.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run!
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norse sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.